they're not a fraudulent defense to me. They're not like a Detroit Lions or Miami Dolphins.
You think Detroit's fraudulent now?
Fraudulent.
That guy's so scared. No, it's your lucky day, I'm telling you.
I think there's no disputing Lamar Jackson
is
playing at a MVP level.
But I just want to know, because I love the smell test. Are you panicking on San Francisco, the 49ers, after their loss on Monday night?
He has a lollipop, a half-eaten lollipop. He's like, here you go, son.
Oh, these two are like top five in yards per game. They're throwing the ball everywhere. Boom, boom, boom. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Before I get started, OC, are you available Friday for that food tour?
Friday?
Mm-hmm. After our show. Is that possible?
Friday is a tough one.
It's a tough one. Okay.
Saturdays are usually...
Is that the move?
Saturday for sure.
What time would we do this Saturday? Because I work Sunday.
Yeah. So it has to be in the daytime.
Yeah. I'm in.
So maybe like 2:30.
Can we do this Saturday?
You want to do it this Saturday?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Are you saying it might be too much for me on Sunday? What I might not recover from this eating.
You'll recover. And you're going to have a lot of energy too, which is a good thing. Like, whenever you have like a lot of carbohydrates the day before, like I would do that before games, you know?
That's when you load it up on
the carbs. Yeah. Okay. Saturday, I would go crazy on Saturday. And then Sunday, you'd have so much. And remember, I didn't eat before games, right?
No, you didn't.
So all the food that I ate Saturday would carry me through all the way. Yeah. That's the way I would do it. So
okay.
If you want like, and you need a lot of energy too for your Sundays. You need plenty of energy. That's a long shift, J-Bell. So I mean, you should probably load up on Saturday, bro.
Okay. Yeah. Can we do this on Saturday then?
We can do it. We're leaving next Saturday, aren't we?
Saturday we head to Germany. So it has to be
this Saturday.
Yeah. Can you talk to
I'll talk to later.
To the boss?
Yeah, I'll talk to the boss.
See if we can do this.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. That'd be outstanding.
Cuz my little one is out of the country for school holidays.
So you have this Saturday.
Yeah, cuz I got to work, so she can leave.
I'll talk to her.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes everything feel better. Yeah. You know what else makes me feel better?
Tell me, J-Bell.
How comfortable you look in that Lazy Boy chair.
It's so cool, right? It's so good. Somebody was sitting in this chair when I got in and I was upset.
You were, but they're close to us. Shout out to Teal.
Shout out to Teal.
And
she's not allowed to sit in this chair anymore.
No more. I won't
just
let her
just one warning.
Okay.
She gets one warning.
I let her sit there, too.
As much as we love her, she gets one warning.
Yep. No more. You can always sit in my chair, but not two times.
No.
Not the two-time Super Bowl chair.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, J-Bell.
I agree. And your name's in the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, I always say that, but that's crazy, bro.
It is a little crazy.
That's you don't get, you're not there every week because you're here.
Yeah.
A lot of people that their name is in the stadium, they get to visit and watch about four or five, how many games they want a season. Mm. They get to see it, show the family. I mean, has everyone seen it? Like your peoples?
Yeah, I mean, when it first happened, I think a lot of us were in there.
Yeah.
So we saw it then. But, you know, sometimes somebody would go in there, not like my people, but fans, whatever, and they'll take a picture and they'll send it. And because I'm not there, you forget. You're like, oh my goodness, your name's in the stadium? It's crazy.
Think about like when you play, I think about as a kid playing. I know you didn't start till high school. I couldn't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Like when you first got on the field and, you know, somebody told you to go try out and go out there and do it.
Yeah.
Was anything like that ever in your subconscious? Like this is a possibility?
No. No. I just wanted to make friends. And I wanted to see what those cheerleaders were talking about.
I'm done.
That's the only reason why, to be honest.
I can't even talk. And I can't even have a serious conversation with you.
It led all the way.
I can't.
I'm just being serious. It led all the way there. That's all I was thinking. I was like, okay, let me just go see what was going on, right? I came to America to go to school. So football and, you know, all the incredible things that come with that, I couldn't even understand what was going on. So for it to lead to my name being in, the Giants have been around since 1925.
That's crazy. And you're one of the people in that.
Years.
Dang, now you're putting up.
That's almost crazy. 100 years, J-Bell.
And you are one
And
of
I'm
them.
One of the people in their stadium. It means I was one of the best players to ever play there. Can't process it. I'll never be able to process it. Never. Man,
that is nuts. And you're right about the feeling your people get, because I remember being in the stadium and they had a banner of you on the outside. Remember, I sent you a picture and I'm walking in and I'm like, oh, look at OC on the banner, right picture. And then I walk in and I know your name's in there. And then I saw it and I remember sitting in the box.
Yeah.
I was in the box.
Yeah, of course you were.
Before I went to the sideline and stood on the sideline again. But as I was there, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. As long as that stadium's in existence, as long as the Giants exist.
Shout out to 72, man.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of work went into that. And a lot of work went into building that chair you're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
www.la-z-boy.co.uk.
Mm.
Lazy Boy and a Baller together.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's do it.
We're excited.
Yeah. So we're here another week of the podcast, man. I had an interesting journey on my way over here.
Okay.
I love public transportation, as do you also.
I mean,
you will walk.
I'm in the streets.
You are in the streets. You'll walk 30 minutes to your tube stop.
To my train station, yep.
And you prefer that it's a longer walk.
Yes. I use that as my exercise.
Yes. Yeah. And I.
So when I have my donut, I don't feel bad.
You're good.
Yeah.
I remember we used to walk from your other place to the gym and you were like, oh, this is our workout. We got 30 minutes.
Boom.
We work out. Then we got on the way back. And boom. I was like, you are. And I remember you walking in the rain with a t-shirt on. I was like, you cold? You was like, nah, I'm good.
That's just what we do.
Yeah. I'm just saying. So I'm on a train and I get on and I'm just observing, doing my thing. And this guy comes on and he kind of scans real quick and he sits down. Like, I see everything on the train. Like, I think I'm like gonna, I don't know why.
You're aware.
Yeah. It's my field vision. He sits down, he looks at me like three times, quick, boom, boom, boom. So I look at him and he looks away. Then he pulls out this pad and he starts drawing. It's a small notepad, like double size of your phone, two of your iPhones. Draws, and I see him drawing a picture of me. Glasses, hair, whatever. Doesn't look at me again.
Wow.
Because he sees I've made contact.
Yeah.
But now I feel bad because I was about to start some street beef, but we don't even have a problem.
Yeah.
Then I see him scan to someone else. Draws this lady. He drew four people that were sitting in there before I got off.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Talents.
Sitting there. I felt bad because I was staring at him like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
The man just was doing his thing.
Yeah.
And it made me think about what something you always said about the world. And you would say, how many billion people are on the planet?
8 billion now.
And you would say, that's how many different realities there
are.
And I always remember that. And it's so true, right? You just never know. But being open to other people's perspectives and reality, it kind of allows you to, I think, to live this unique life we have in the best way possible.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just, and you gotta be, society offers that, people's perspective, it offers that, and we just kind of gotta embrace it, you know?
Yeah. You know, when you said you like you saw the guy, right? But you didn't say anything. You were chilling. It led me to a question I was asked. This wasn't too long ago, and it was one of my homies. He was like, "If somebody came up to you in the streets and tried you, physically,
yep.
How sure are you that you'd be able to win a fight against that person, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I'm 99.99% sure that I'd be able to win, right?
Yeah, right.
And he was like, really? He was like, you're a fighter? I was like, no, I'm not a fighter, but I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why.
When you laugh before that, it gets even scarier.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, here's what I know about people who fight, like who fight really well.
Yeah.
They do not go around looking for trouble.
They don't fight. Very rarely are you going to run into somebody who can really hurt you.
Like that looks for the trouble.
Yeah.
So that's what I told him. I was like, listen, the people who really know how to fight, they're not going to they're not going to look for it. They'll end it.
Yeah, but they're not.
They're not going to begin it.
No.
So the people who usually go around beginning things usually don't really, they don't know how to fight.
No, no.
So those people, I'm confident I would win. But the people who I'm like, those guys, I'm a little bit more careful of.
Of course.
Right.
I remember when I first started training mixed martial arts for fun in the off season, and you went in there and you'd see the little dudes, and they were like the baddest dudes on the planet, right? And you were like, oh my goodness. And even those guys, because a lot of times before a lot of the training became accessible, you know, what sports were the little guys playing? You know what I'm saying? In America. So they learned how to fight.
Yeah.
You know? And they were so calm.
Yeah. Chill. Don't
want
no
chilling. No, everything. Yeah. I remember reading a story about this UFC fighter, and he's at Costco. His name was Donald Cerrone, I think his name was.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
And he's and he says he gets in an argument with a guy in the parking lot, and the guy like punch flips his hat off. And he looks at the guy and he goes, it's your lucky day. And he picks his hat up off the ground, puts it on, and gets in his car. Now, that guy probably got in his car like, I punked that guy. Like, whatever. And the guy like, it's your lucky day. And he picked his hat off the ground and walked away.
Just had no idea what he avoided.
He just the guy. That guy's so scared. No, it's your lucky day, I'm telling you. Can you imagine him reading that story and thinking, oh my goodness, I've avoided tragedy.
Yeah.
I think the game has made us like that too. Like in being out there on the field, like if somebody's gonna try you, you got an opportunity to respond, right? Within within those lines, you know? And you're right. You don't want to go out and then in your regular life go tackle somebody.
Bro,
I've been tackling all day.
Not happening, man. It's not happening.
My hands hurt, my knees. I'm not trying to Let's just be calm. But you're totally right. The NFL is an interesting place.
Okay,
it's an interesting place, and especially this part of the season, Week 7. For those who haven't heard before, I remember asking OC about when it clicked for him during the season, and you said what week?
Close to the middle of the season.
Right. So you were clicking right now, right? And that says something because obviously it ties back into our previous conversation. Your name's in the stadium. I remember Darren Woodson, another guy I look up to, telling me my rookie year, hey, I'm going to start playing well around week five, you know, four or five. I was like, really? Like, don't look at me early in the year. He's like, when everybody starts slowing down, I stay the same. In the beginning of the season, everybody's fresh, mentally and physically. You know, and there's not a lot of information out there. There's not a lot of tells. I can't use my cerebral strength. But as the season progresses, I get better. I stay the same or get better, they get worse. Boom. And you look at where we are right now, and I was thinking of something, and it's a topic we discuss all the time about information. And not everyone uses it the same, OC. It's there, it's available, but I think that a lot of people are, how do you say lazy? They're lazy, right? So with memes and quick information, they take that and they form an opinion because they don't have to do the work. This is a problem in our society with any issue we're discussing. You and I will sit down. We're gonna ask our viewers about this later. Our late night chats. And we will throw something out there that is scary to talk about.
Yep.
And we hash it out. We try to figure it out. And we try to bring in information and resources that we've read and try to see if we can come to some kind of conclusion. But it takes work. And we revisit this day after day after day after day. And we might change our opinion four or five times. But we're reading. And I think at this time in the season, with the information available, not every player, not every coach, not every organization uses this information the same way.
Yeah, they don't. And you would find most of them don't, right? I think it's the ones who are disciplined, the people who are seasoned, The ones who are hardworking, those are the ones that have the staying power.
Boom.
And those are the ones that are going to be there in the long run. They're not the ones who are jumping to conclusions. Just
yep.
Those are the people who are always going to be there as the ones who are willing to put in that little bit extra work. And they're usually at the end. You see it in the teams. You see it in the players. You see it in GM, everything.
Everything.
It's the same people.
It's shocking, right? I mean, even now you start to see the way people are progressing and playing and even the way the defenses are playing now. Mm-hmm. Because we got information. Now it's about, I know your tendencies. I can break down, you know, out of a certain formation, three or four options that you might do mm-hmm. that I get to play. And that makes me have to react less.
Yeah. Speaking of reacting, I like that jersey you got there behind you, Lamar Jackson one.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I got this Patrick Mahomes one behind me.
You don't like that?
It's just not, you know. It's a good jersey.
It's one of the greatest jerseys,
but, you know.
It's okay. There because our lovely production friends.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I told them, and I didn't tell you, but maybe I need to tell you now. I said, right now for me, it's pretty clear and evident. These are the two MVP frontrunners.
These are the two.
I would say Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and I would actually, after last week, you could flip it and say Lamar Patrick. But these two dudes are going towards the head of meeting each other, and they are playing phenomenal in different ways. Phenomenal. And your face tells me you might agree with one, might not agree with any.
Yeah.
But one of them I don't think you agree with.
Yeah.
State your claim.
I think there's no disputing Lamar Jackson is playing at a MVP level.
Okay.
Extremely high level. Mm-hmm. Doing everything extraordinarily well.
Okay.
And I don't think that can be questioned. He is on his way to a second MVP.
Ooh.
Which is, if he keeps up this, what he's doing now in this pace, he's on his way to a second MVP.
Baller.
Now, I think the question now becomes Patrick Mahomes, all right?
All right.
And undoubtedly, the last game he played well, very well, undoubtedly.
Yep.
Right?
Straight up.
But one game does not make an MVP.
Why did your voice just get so strong?
One game, an MVP does not make.
Okay.
One of my good friends by the name of Ligier Douzebo.
That's an expensive name.
Yeah. He was on Twitter, and he started talking about the Patrick Mahomes MVP debates.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And he had two quarterbacks side by side.
Okay.
Two. Mm-hmm. All right? Patrick Mahomes. The greatest. Patrick Mahomes. And another quarterback who has been belittled.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, he's not playing that well. Right? All that. Uh-huh. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
Oh, gosh. Don't even do this. Keep going.
Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
Where are you going? Take me down this dark, lonely alley.
Their stats are comparable. As a matter of fact.
Except their wins and losses.
Cool. You see, but this is the problem. This is always the problem.
Wins and losses?
Wins and losses are attributed to the quarterback, nobody else.
Yeah, that's true. And the head coach, two people. Yes.
One of them is putting up similar numbers to the other one.
Okay.
Losing games, one, the other one is winning because their defense is absolutely balling.
That's true.
Right?
But Patrick is playing winning football, OC.
What does that mean?
It means he's winning the game.
No. What it means is if this guy's defense was playing like Denver's defense, they would be 3-4, and he won't be in the conversation.
Denver's defense isn't playing well.
When he listed them side by side and made the arguments, and I looked at the numbers, I was like, how's Russell Wilson have better numbers across the board than Patrick Mahomes? But one of them, they're saying, is the MVP candidate because he's playing on a winning team.
Yes.
And the other one, he's being trashed.
To be MVP, you got to be on a winning team. And the way they play Patrick Mahomes is they're trying to prevent those explosive plays because he can throw, we know what he can do down the field. So they are. Got those safeties in the parking lot. They're trying to prevent that. And his receivers, the secondary threat besides Kelce, hasn't really showed up. And he's balling. Okay, look at the difference. Who makes the timely play?
Listen, completion percentage, Russell Wilson.
I care who makes the timely play in the game. Intercept,
touchdown, interdirect show, Russell Wilson. He is playing.
You don't even believe this.
No. Listen. Listen. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Patrick. That's an asinine argument.
Okay, cool.
Right?
Okay.
In no form or fashion am I comparing the two.
Okay, I know that.
All I'm saying is, based upon the numbers, you can't say that Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP level because Russell Wilson is playing the quarterback position statistically just as well as he is.
When you watch football and you do your smell test, which is becoming profound and appreciated, you always cite things that you see or you feel, the way the game flows.
Mm-hmm.
And you always go, it's philosophical because you're like, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen this. I feel this. This is what it looks like. And you're like, all right, OC's on to something. When you watch football, casual fan, and you say you don't have stats, you're not looking at all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And you watch how it feels, the flow, the moments. That's what an MVP is.
Mm-hmm.
MVP to me is moments.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, in the moment, shows up. When you look at Justin Herbert in this last game, great quarterback, great statistics. You go into this game, it was like, oh, these two are like top five in yards per game. They're throwing the ball everywhere. Boom, boom, boom. But in the moments, you're like, oh, that's the dude. That dude 1-5 is the dude. Lamar Jackson's the dude. The moments. When you are, you might have a bunch of pressures at coming off the edge. But what did OC Umanyora do in the moments?
Mm-hmm.
Strip sacks.
So here's what I'll say about that, right?
Turnovers.
Here's what I'll say about that.
Name in the stadium.
No. Here's what I'll say about that, Jason. Here's what I'll say about everything you just said.
You see, I try to make it about you so I can get you on my
side. Here's what I'll say about everything you just said right now. Number one, that is a legitimate argument.
Thank you.
Legitimate.
I feel like I'm being set up, though.
Number two, when somebody presents a compelling and legitimate arguments that I can't really argue against, I just accept the loss. So, yeah, you're right.
No,
because...
No,
seriously. In the moment, you can't compare Mahomes to Russell Wilson.
You can't in the
I know what the stats say, but in terms of how he performs when it's necessary, he's at the highest level. Yeah.
I feel like
that's correct.
I feel like that's
it's true.
What we look at with players, MVPs, like defense. Okay, we're talking about defense MVP. Look at what Myles Garrett did last week, your boy.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't play well on defense, and that's when the MVP is usually that guy, right? Defense playing well, he's playing well.
Mm.
I mean, he's making splash plays. He's big blocking plays. A field goal.
Big plays, timely plays.
Timely
is
different
than somebody else who gets a sack or two sacks or even pressures. The way they do it and the way they look doing it is completely different. Somebody could have better numbers, but then like somebody would have better numbers than Myles Garrett or whoever's, you know. But then when you look at the way it happened and the way they did it, you'd be like, nah, this guy's a far superior player to this guy.
It's the moment.
Yeah, you're right.
As a moment guy. I remember the other story you used to tell me about, and I keep saying this because I want people to understand the mentality of the guy on the team. Driving up to the stadium, people have your jersey on, you're relaxing, game time, you're just trying to do what you do, and all of a sudden the pressure of these people and their expectation of you going into the game.
Yeah.
I was the complete opposite. I was thinking, I got to play well for me, my job, my security, like it wasn't like I have to perform and my performance is tied to wins and losses. My performance was tied to job security. Different mentality. Stress, different mentality. When you are that player, you feel the moments of the game. I'm more asking. Do you feel the moments of the game? Do you know this is when you have to shine?
Yeah, definitely. You know. You know. You know.
And yeah. It's pressure. Do you feel everybody looking at you? Like, have you felt when us defense is struggling, I literally have looked at you and Stray off the edge and like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I wouldn't say you feel people looking at you because you're so caught up in what you have to do, but there's a highly elevated level of stress at that point. You're like, I got to do something here. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially when it's like the game is in the balance. And
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know. You know.
That brings up another word, pressing. You want to do it, but you don't want to press and force it, right? It has to kind of naturally happen.
You got to go make it happen, bro. You got to go get it, man. You got to go get it.
You look at the Ravens. That's a good, I'm glad you said that because you look at them and they were struggling in the red zone, having issues. When they got down the first time, we talked about this on our show. They got creative with the play call, but whose hand was it in? Lamar's.
Lamar. Yeah. Lamar.
And he made it happen.
He did.
That's MVP.
Yeah. You're right. I can't. That's legitimate points, man.
Out of those two, who are you rolling with?
I'd have to say Lamar for now. You take him off that football team. I just don't know. You take Patrick, there's a big problem. You take Patrick Mahomes off his football team. You take Lamar, that is a serious problem right now. So I would have to say in terms of most valuable player, I'll be rolling with Lamar.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. That's good. And they got a Super Bowl level defense, do you think?
They're playing well.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
I just got that information piped into me.
Yeah, they're playing.
I like it.
They're playing very, very well. They're not a fraudulent defense to me, right? They're not like a Detroit Lions or Miami Dolphins.
You think Detroit's fraudulent now?
Fraudulent. I say these things and people look at me like I'm crazy.
I don't anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. But it's just
don't.
Yeah, it's I'm not saying the things to be mean.
Yeah.
you understand what I mean? Or
it's experience.
It's experience, bro. It's just experience of knowing. And yeah, Miami, those teams are fraudulent. They're not like defenses that can, you know, at the very, very end, they're not the defenses that are gonna lock you down and be there. No.
No. You gotta have an attitude, a philosophy, a mindset. And the Ravens have always been that.
Always had that.
And once they got Roquan, the way Patrick Queen is playing next to him, I mean, they're bringing pressure from everywhere.
Good players.
I think in life, if you want to be successful, you have to be okay being uncomfortable and being unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are two hard things, right?
Yes.
Being unpredictable almost makes you uncomfortable, right? It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And being uncomfortable puts you out there.
Yes.
To be a good defense, I feel like you got to be like that.
Unpredictable, uncomfortable.
Because you got to do something, the offense goes, whoa, that's risky.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to put a player in a one-on-one, in a challenging spot where he's holding on. Like when we call cover zero for all of you that might not know, as a defensive back, you have no help.
Mm-hmm.
It's you, the receiver, nobody, no safety anywhere to help you. If he beats you inside, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
But that means I got more people at the line of scrimmage to go after the quarterback. And hopefully he has what? A half a second,
yes.
A second to throw.
Yes.
You know, if you put OC in a one-on-one situation, he's going to win. He's going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So you are exposing four people in coverage where it's like, it's on you and you got nothing, you know, and that's being uncomfortable.
Yeah, I get it. Speaking of uncomfortable.
Tell me.
I wanted to talk about one more thing before we go.
Please.
I know we're probably running out of time.
I mean, yeah, but I love these.
So, and this isn't new information, but recently I saw the basketball player, Joel Embiid. So Joel is from Cameroon.
Okay.
Right? I think he started He started playing at like 14 or something. He's in Cameroon his whole time. 15, he started playing, right?
Wow, that late. Yeah,
15. But obviously, 7 foot tall, you know, so.
Did the NBA program, the big man program they have in Africa, is that how they found him?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, NBA Africa program.
Shout out to NFL Africa, OCU Manure.
And so recently, there was some discussion of who is going to play his national team.
Right.
Basketball for.
Yeah.
Ended up playing for Team America.
Okay.
USA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at that, and then people are coming at his neck and all that good stuff.
They're attacking him over.
Of course. We're playing for USA. Like, why don't you play for Cameroon, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a big thing. And so I started to think to myself.
Before you go, what was his response? Did he say anything?
I haven't heard him say anything. Yeah, but he's playing for Team USA, the Olympic team. Best team in the world, right? He's playing for them, right?
Picking a winner.
Which, okay, cool.
That's what he's doing.
Right? Yeah, uh-huh. So he's playing for Team USA.
Yeah, I'm following.
So I started to think to myself, okay, in that situation,
mm-hmm.
what would I do, right?
Ooh, put yourself on
it. Yeah, like what would I do? Obviously, I was born in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Was here for the first 7 years, went to Nigeria. My parents are Nigerian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went to America, mm-hmm. right? I went to America at 14, 15 years old. And so here's a couple of things that I have to say first. First of all, love the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great country.
You're here.
Incredible. Love it. The United States of America has given me everything, right?
Mm-hmm. You always have said that.
Everything. Everything that I have came from the opportunities given to me by the United States of America. So those are two countries that I absolutely love. Matter of fact, if somebody attacked, a country came and attacked the UK or attacked America, I'm taking up arms, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you guys have done this for me. Okay, we're going to, you understand?
I'm
not
here.
Just going to go, no. Now, you talk about Nigeria. Nigeria has done nothing, right? I'm talking about absolutely zero for me. Nigeria has done zero. So if I have to pick
mm-hmm.
to play for a national team between the U.S., the U.K., or Nigeria, the country that has done nothing for me, I'm picking Nigeria every time.
I knew you were going
Bell.
Here. I knew you were. You were not just.
Every
I know you
Every single time, J-Bell. Nigeria is like my drunk father who I just love. You know the drunkard, your father that's a drunkard, he comes home.
My drunk father.
He's celebrating your birthday 3 days after the fact. He has a lollipop, a half-eaten lollipop. He's like, here you go, son. Here's your birthday present. And you just love him. That is Nigeria for me. There's not even a, what do you mean by you're playing for USA? What are you talking about? I don't understand that mentality.
All I can see is a half-eaten lollipop.
Bro,
OC.
Nigeria has, on Nigerian people, we can't explain it.
Okay.
We couldn't even explain it to you, right?
No, but the lollipop got me.
We couldn't explain it to you.
Right.
Nigeria has a hold on its people. We are so proud to be Nigerian.
Yep.
To be from this country that has done nothing. J-Bell. Absolutely nothing.
That's love.
Bro.
That's love.
The United States of America is the stepfather that brings a Rolls Royce. You're like, here you go.
Stop.
This is a beautiful car for you. You're like, oh, stepdaddy, I love you so much. But then here comes
the drunk father. You live with the stepdad.
Here comes the drunk dad with the half-eaten lollipop. You're like, dad, I love you, dad.
Stop.
That's Nigeria.
Stop.
I can't explain it. I couldn't understand this man playing for USA over Cameroon. No. Nigerians?
Not happening.
Not happening, bro. Not happening. Can't happen. And yeah, so I just thought I'd get that out of the way.
I've found the quote, what he said. And I'm glad we get to say it on the back. I can't get a half-eaten lollipop out of my head, bro.
Drunk,
I'm done. He's just drunk. Just staggering.
Staggering, like, there you go.
And you are happy so
birthday.
Happy.
Like, thank you,
you
Dad.
Don't even eat it. You put it in, it's
wrap
up in the
it
house. It's
got framed. A framed.
It's framed.
That's Nigeria.
Okay, this is what Joel said. Oh, my gosh. It was not easy. I'm blessed to call Cameroon, France, and the USA home. After talking to my family, I knew it had to be Team USA. I want to play with my brothers in the league. I want to play for my fans because they've been incredible since the day I came here. But most of all, I want to honor my son who was born in the U.S. I want my boy to know I played my first Olympics for him.
Listen, cool. Cool, right? Cool. But you chose to play for a team that's going to win without you.
Yes.
They're the best.
Irrefutable. They're going to win without you.
The best. So now you get to say, hey, yeah, I won an Olympic gold medal with Team USA. Really? Really, Joel? Really? Come on, bro. Let's be serious here, bro. Would I play, would I put on a helmet and play for the United States of America? America is going to run through everybody. They're going to beat everybody by 80 points in a real, in like an actual.
I will say this. If some of these brothers on the D-line go back and represent
Nigeria,
it's going to be some heat coming.
Oh, yeah. It's going to
be you like you in college at Troy.
Bro, it's going to be some problems now, right? So flag football, I'm like, okay, Nigeria, we're going to compete.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like straight up tackle football.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll put out a bunch of D linemen, a bunch of O linemen. We don't have no quarterback. We don't have no receiver. We might have one receiver. No, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I couldn't imagine saying, you know what? I'm going to play for Team USA. No chance. And I'm talking about a country I love. No chance, J-Bell.
One thing before
what
we
is
leave.
He thinking? Joel Embiid, I'm going to play for Team USA.
I can't stop thinking about this lollipop, bro.
I'm
done. I got one thing, and you don't even have to give too much, but I just want to know, because I love the smell test. Are you panicking on San Francisco?
No.
The 49ers after their loss on Monday night? Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Really?
They're missing they're missing parts of their team that make it go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You miss your left tackle.
Yeah. And fluky plays happen.
Debo will. I mean, come on. I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking at all. When I see them play defensively, they're still.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Like, you're going to have like little blips here and there, but over the long haul, you can't tell me anybody in the NFC that I'm going to, outside of Philadelphia, that's going to beat that team. Like,
right.
In the playoff?
Right. Like,
come on.
So they just got
it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a collision course for those two teams. So it's like, don't panic, whatever. I remember the deep throw to Jordan Addison, and I'm looking at the little tape today, and Tre'Davious Ward jumps up for the pick, has the pick, and he just takes it from him. And I'm like, oh, it's one of those days.
It happens.
All right, no panic. Passes OC smell test. I needed to know that. You needed to know that. Please.
Just understand how teams are built, J-Bell.
Yeah,
you understand?
That's very true.
We played Super Bowl year. We played against Minnesota. We lost by like 30, 35 points.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, they came in Giant Stadium, beat us down. This was towards the end of the season,
totally
too.
I forgot about
that. Yeah, because Eli threw like four interceptions.
Yeah, just a bad day.
It's just a bad day. But when you look at the way the team is constructed,
you're
like, nah, that team is... That's a legitimate team.
Same thing
with San Fran.
That's why we need that wisdom right now. And there's other wisdom for everybody. When you get that half lollipop, don't feel bad. We understand.
Treasure it, man.
We understand.
Niger.
We understand.
Nigeria, bro. Through and through. Through and through. That country's done nothing, J-Bell. Absolutely nothing. But we love it. Love it, bro.
Shout out to the homeland. The Jason Nosey Podcast.
It's true, bro.
I can't.